Lee Loewenfisch joins us, the author of Branch Rickey, The Ferocious Gentleman. Lee, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Good timing, too, because Harrison Ford was just one of the people on Meet the Press talking about playing Branch Rickey in the film 42, and I think he does a fine job myself.
Yeah, what was your take on Harrison Ford and how he portrayed Rickey? And I know you wrote a wonderful book about it. How did you assess that?
I think he did a fine job. He inhabited the role. I mean, I don't know him, and I didn't consult on the movie, but I did hear that he had read my book, and he knows the story, and he caught the great duality of Branch Rickey, that he was a Wesley Branch Rickey, a deep Methodist who wanted to do good for people, but also he was a savvy baseball businessman who knew that Robinson and the people coming up after him, like Campanella and Newcomb and Gilliam, were going to make the Dodgers winning, profitable team. So I thought he really did an excellent job in both those aspects.
A lot of what you wrote in the book, and as I say, fans, if you want to read a good book, Jules Tigel's book, The Baseball's Great Experiment, is terrific as well, the late Jules Tigel, who we love. But Lee did it as well with his book, Branch Rickey, The Ferocious Gentleman. So much of the written work in your book, the quotes of Rickey and different people, were word for word in the movie.
Well, you know, he was so quotable. I mean, he had an amazing gift for gab. And people have asked, how would he do in today's baseball? Well, he was a arch defender of the reserve system, and that would be difficult for him. But on other ways, you know, he loved the international game. He would have loved the TV, not the control of TV, but he would have loved the internet and the colleges that are teaching sport history and sport management now, because he was a natural. He could talk all night.
Well, Lee, the other part of Branch Rickey that doesn't come out in the movie, and you think he's building this team with Newcomb and Campanella, Jackie Robinson, he's got Duke Snider and Pee Wee Reese, and of course the Boys of Summer, and they have a tremendous run from 1947 through 1956, but he doesn't stay a Dodger.
Yeah.
Walter O'Malley knocks him out, and I think it's worth just pointing that out, because for anyone who sees the movie, you think that Rickey is forever a Dodger, but that's not the case. Just give us a brief background of how that ended.
Well, he came in 1942 after the season. The Cardinals had an owner, Sam Braden, who had been with Rickey for over 20 years, and Braden had endorsed the farm system, which Rickey developed, that made the Cardinals basically the Yankees of the National League. They won 6 pennants and 4 World Series over a period of 20 years. But he was an expensive employee. So Braden retired from the auto business, so he thought he could do without Rickey. And then Rickey lands in Brooklyn, and that's where he gets the idea of not only a better farm system, but to start integrating with the best black players. But he still cost a lot of money. And O'Malley is a lawyer for the team and becomes a third owner with Rickey and John L. Smith, who was the Pfizer chemical honcho. And when Smith dies in 1950, it's the end of the line for Rickey. His contract is out, and he lands in Pittsburgh. And something that a film that's devoted to 47 can't really do is that I think one of the connections that Rickey and Robinson had was both of them were under fire. I mean, Rickey not as much as Robinson, of course, who had to face the death threats and all the crises off the field. But Rickey knew that O'Malley was targeting him for being so expensive, and so he sensed he was on his way out. But the thing about both of them is they performed well under pressure, and in terms of the racial integration, they both knew they were on God's side, and and as my father always used to say, God helps those who help themselves, and they helped themselves, and as it turned out, they helped Brooklyn. And my only sadness as a historian, as a New Yorker, is that if Rickey hadn't been forced out by O'Malley and John L. Smith hadn't died in 1950, I don't think O'Malley by himself could have moved the team.
No, and Robinson was very faithful to Ricky and didn't go back to L.A. because of the dispute where Ricky was forced out and he didn't like O'Malley. But, Lee, just to wrap it up, how, and I've been talking about this for a couple of days here and I've seen the movie three times already, how important, in your words, was Robinson in the civil rights movement when what he did in 1947, how important was that?
Martin Luther King said it best. He told Ricky and he told Robinson and Campanella when he met them that they made his job so much easier because he could point Martin Luther King, look what happens when a black man is an equal and works together as a team. That's what we want for all of society. So without doubt, the success of Robinson was the first salvo. The first successful salvo of the modern civil rights movement. It's not accident that in 1948, President Truman issued the executive order that banned segregation in the armed forces. And Robinson, of course, had been court-martialed for not going to the back of the bus when he was in the military in 1944. And then the cases start coming into the courts about school segregation, and so we get to the Brown decision in 54. So, I mean, the first salvo of a period of agitation that ultimately made this country better, although it cost so many lives.
Well, that's why we remember him April 15th, why 42 is retired, and why everybody wears 42 on April 15th. That's the point of the movie for me. There's so many young people and have no idea what Robinson did, who he was, and the movie just gets that point across. Have you seen the movie?
Oh, I've seen it, and, you know, I'm going to be with you. I want to see it three times, too,
yeah.
Because, you know, the promos got us worried because there's rap music in the promos, but which would have been very anachronistic. But my first viewing, I didn't hear any of the rap music. I'm only sorry that they didn't weave that wonderful Count Basie tune from the late 40s that was a hit. You know, kid, did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball?
Oh, right.
They didn't weave that in, although it is at the end of the movie.
Right.
But no, the thing is, it's a good entertainment as well as an important history lesson. So
wonderful.
I urge people to see it.
Lee, thank you so much. A great report on this Sunday morning. And again, your book, I have it with me. I read it all the time. Branch Rickey, The Ferocious Gentleman. It really is a comprehensive history of Rickey, this era, and everything else. You did a great job with it. So thank you for being on the show.
And it's still available from University of Nebraska Press or at my website, leelowenfish.com. And Marty, you do a great job, too. And it's always a pleasure to talk with you.
All right. Have a good day. All right. That is
you
Lee
too.
Loewenfish from New York City.